This episode is being brought to you by the Speak English with Tiffany Academy. If you are tired of trying to figure out what to study, if you want to get a better job but your English is holding you back, or if you feel stuck at the same English level and you don't know what to do, then the Academy is for you. When you join the Academy, you will get access to a 365-day English lesson plan created specifically for intermediate and advanced English learners. These 365 days of English lessons will cover English vocabulary, American culture, listening skills, fluency, idioms, expressions, and so much more. You will also be able to join a private community where you can practice what you learn with English learners from all around the world. So join today by going to www.speakenglishwithtiffanyacademy.com. Welcome to the Speak English with Tiffany podcast, a podcast especially created for intermediate and advanced English learners. In this podcast, you will hear natural English conversations, learn specific English tips and tricks, and also get to know many different ESL teachers. This podcast will take your English ability to the next level and help you to be more confident and more fluent when you speak in English. Are you ready? Well then, let's jump right in. Hey everyone, this is Teacher Tiffany, and I want to thank you so much for joining me for another episode of the Speak English with Tiffany podcast. In today's episode, we are going to speak to my friend Keisha. Keisha and I met as English teachers in South Korea, and she is an amazing woman. You are really going to love this interview, and we're going to learn so much more about her and her experience as an American. But before we jump into the episode, I want to remind you about the weekly English Words membership. That's right, www.weeklyenglishwords.com. Each podcast episode includes tons of new vocabulary words, expressions, and idioms that are used by native English speakers. But as an English learner, it's hard for you to know the correct meanings and how to use the words, expressions, and idioms properly. That is exactly why the Weekly English Words membership was created. Now, as a member, after each podcast episode, you will find an entire section that includes video explanations for more than 25 words and expressions that were used during the episode. And as a member, you will also be able to download a PDF that includes all of the definitions. You won't find this anywhere else on the internet. So trust me when I say you need to become a member now. Now, I know that you're also curious about today's episode, so I want you to hear a few of the vocabulary words and expressions that will be used in today's episode. Teacher Julie, your guide and teacher for the Weekly English Words membership, will explain them, and then we will jump right in to today's episode.
So a metro area is short form for metropolis, and a metropolis is just any major city and the suburbs around it. So let's say, for example, you live in New York City or you live in one of the suburbs around New York. Another way of saying this would be, I live in a metro area, or I want to live in a metro area. So again, a metro area is just short form for a metropolis, which is any major city and the areas around it. So the verb envision means to imagine or visualize a future possibility. So for example, where do you envision yourself in the next 10 years or 20 years? I envision myself retiring in a hot place, a sunny tropical island maybe. So again, envision is just another way of saying imagine or visualize a future possibility. So a discrepancy is a noticeable difference between two things that shouldn't be there. So for example, let's imagine that you go grocery shopping and when you get home, you check your receipt and you realize that you were charged for two or three things that you didn't buy. So you were overcharged. In this case, you could go back to the supermarket and say, there is a discrepancy on my bill. So this means that there is a difference between your receipt and the things that you actually bought, and this difference shouldn't be there. Another example, there's often a discrepancy between men and women's salaries. So there is a noticeable difference between the amount of money that men earn and women earn, and this difference should not be there.
Hey, Keisha, how are you?
I am doing well. Thank you so much for having me on, Tiffany.
Of course. Thank you for your willingness to join. And I love your background. I like the Asian flair.
Thank you. Thank you. This was part of my Zoom office.
Yes. We have all adjusted to this new life during the pandemic. We have different Zoom backgrounds. So yes, I like it. I like it. All right. So for those listening, this is Keisha, and I want her to introduce herself. I know Keisha, I'm actually really good friends with your uncle, but you and I became friends in Korea as missionaries. So please introduce yourself, Keisha.
All right. Hi, everyone. Again, my name is Keisha Dupree. I live in New Jersey. I'm 31, turning 32, and I don't get that a lot. People oftentimes think I'm in my teens still, but I am 30, squarely in the 30s, married with a child.
Black don't crack. Remember that. Black does not crack.
If you look right. So that's a little bit about me. I think you'll learn more about me as we continue talking.
Good stuff. Well, thank you so much again for joining us. And again, I am looking forward to hearing your answers to these questions and all about your experience as an American. So we'll jump right in. And my first question to you is, more about you individually. So tell us one thing that makes you unique or different.
So everyone has hobbies. So I think my biggest hobby is cooking. And I like to cook plant-based, specifically vegan, and all kinds of cuisines. Like, I'm the friend, we're out at a restaurant, and I'm like, oh, I think I taste a little bit of nutmeg here. I think I taste a little bit of, Iranian saffron. So I then try to go home and recreate those dishes, and oftentimes try to improve upon them for my own taste buds and those of my husband, because he's particularly particular. And it's gotten to the point where I actually don't enjoy eating out very much, because I think I just feel like it's kind of a waste of money, right? I'm like, I can do this myself. That's what I do, and it annoys people, but I think it's awesome. It saves me a lot of money too.
Nice, okay. So I'm also vegan, and I also enjoy cooking. So we have something there in common as well. It's nice to know that you're also plant-based. Now I'm going to ask this question. It's not in the notes, but you mentioned food, and you guys know I love food, those that are listening. So you said that you enjoy more basically eating at home now because it's not as enjoyable because you know how to do it.
Yeah.
How's the vegan scene in Jersey? And I'm asking that because there are a lot of vegan restaurants here in Maryland, and then, I know about Georgia and Cali. Is it that there aren't enough vegan restaurants or plant-based restaurants in Jersey, or it's just that they're not meeting your taste buds?
Well, I'm in Jersey City, so we're, right across from New York City. So we definitely have a pretty big vegan plant-based scene. It's the thing, it's in, but the food's just not that great. It's not that great. And and honestly, when I moved to this area, I was working in Manhattan before the pandemic hit. And I've also been really disappointed with the food in Manhattan, or in New York in general. I'm just it's just not good. I can do better. So
now where are you originally from again?
I'm originally from Huntsville, Alabama.
Do you think the food in Alabama was better than?
No.
Okay. No. I was thinking maybe the Southern food. She's comparing it. No.
We recently just went back to Huntsville 2 weeks ago, and there's nothing good. There's nothing good there. There's nothing good there, and home food's better.
Home food's better. All right, then what's your specialty? This is turning into a cooking program. Hope you guys enjoy it, but it's a part of it.
Oh man, I'm coming up with my Indian game, and let me tell you why.
Come on, sis. Come on.
There's a large Indian population here. It's actually called Little India, like five or seven blocks down from where I live, and there is a massive Indian spice shop. And when I tell you, it is heaven. Like, you gotta get good whole spices, fresh spices, grind them yourselves. It makes the biggest difference in your cooking.
Yes.
I mean, yeah, yes. My game is coming up. It's coming up. So I'm excited about that. My chapatis, my roti, my paratha. Come on.
Listen. Yes. Indian food, for my students that are Indian listening to this, I love you all. I love your food. Like, the spices and the combinations and the way they put their food, I'm like, every aspect of this dish is awesome. So yes, Indian food and I were good friends.
And I will say this, during my time in Korea, going out to get Nepalese or Indian food was the most disappointing thing because they never had cilantro or coriander in it. And I'm like, you can't leave it out. It just doesn't taste the same. And then going to Itaewon to buy some was like $10 for a bun.
Yeah.
Come on.
It was expensive.
I bought it, though. I bought it.
Right. You got to do what you got to do. For those listening, Itaewon was like the place for the foreigners in Korea, like when you find the foreign things, foreign products. But yes, they were more expensive.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of maximizing on that. But yeah. Yes. Okay. So food. Yes. I love it. All right. Liking to cook. So now let me ask you a question more on the topic now about American and being an American. So I want you to tell us, in your opinion, what does it mean to be an American?
Well, let me start by redefining, I think, Americanism or American. Because for a long time, I also used that term like, oh, I'm an American. And then I met a group of South American students. They also say, well, we're American. Right, because they are. And I think that the United States has taken a monopoly of that term American to where it means U.S. citizen. So I try my best to, when I'm talking about that, refer to myself as a U.S. citizen and not just an American without, I think it, you know, it leaves out those other countries in South America. So anyways, forget that. So I think to me, being an American, it means access. I think that's the biggest thing. I think we are privileged to have a great amount of access to education, to other people, to food, right? We have, especially if you're in a metro area like DC or DMV area, New York, you've got access to all these different types of cuisines. And at every point of your life, there is some opportunity to experience something outside of yourself. And we are so accustomed to variety that when we go other places and we don't have those things, it's uncomfortable. We're like, where is, you don't have this, you don't have that. And I think it just really opens our eyes to the privilege that we do have. So I would say access.
I like that. Now, this is the first interview someone's ever used that word to explain what it means to be an American. And I'm glad you tapped into that because it's true. When we were in Korea, that's one thing we would always say, oh man, I like Korean food, but where's the Indian food, the Mexican food, like the variety, like we had access, we had access to so much being in America and surrounded by so many different cultures. So yeah,
that's a I actually had my mom mail me dry beans.
Yes.
When I was in Korea. Oatmeal. The things that you just don't think you would not have access to, small things. Then of course, like bigger things, but just the small things, I think what gets you, because you're like, oh, I can get that there. I don't need to pack that.
Yep. That's so true. So true. All right. So then, okay. Now, speaking of this access we have to so many different cultures, right? That kind of ties into America being called the melting pot. What does that mean to you? Like, if someone says America's a melting pot, what does that mean to you?
I think when people think of melting pot, they envision your major metro areas. They're talking about New York City. They're talking about Los Angeles, Las Vegas, Atlanta. Yeah. And yes, those are definitely melting pots in that you have large groups of diverse populations living in one place. But I think what people may not understand, I'll speak about living here in the New York City metro area, is that those populations are generally siloed, right? So you've got your Chinatown, you've got your Koreatown, you've got the Bronx where the Italians are, you've got Queens where the Orthodox Jews are. And while we're all like, they're close in proximity, are they really interacting? And when I think about a melting pot, it's literally, it's many different things melting into one homogenous product, right? And I don't think we're quite at that level. So I think we're like a salad, right? We're all, you know, we're kind of next to each other. We may mix and mingle, but we retain our individuality. We're individually whatever we are. So I don't think America's a melting pot. I'm gonna be a little controversial here and say that.
This is crazy.
But I think that we have a good mix. There's opportunity to be, and there is something to be said about proximity and being able to interact with your neighbor. But we're definitely not to the point where we've like melted into like this one nice product package thing. Like, we're not there yet.
Okay. Here's the reason why I said it's crazy and I'm smiling so hard for those that are watching the video. Two or three interviews ago, before this interview goes live, one other individual said that her teacher, when she was younger, said the exact same thing you just said. He used the exact, he said, we're a salad. We're not a melting pot. So when you said salad, I was like, did she listen? No, she couldn't have, because it's not live yet. Like, so yes, when she mentioned it and explained it from her teacher's perspective, which is exactly what you just said, it does make sense because, all right, I'll speak from my personal experience. So my high school, I live in Maryland, grew up in Maryland, went to an Adventist school, but our school was very mixed, multicultural. We had literally every culture you could think of. African-American, white Americans, Chinese-American, Korean-American, Indian-Americans, literally the full gamut, a whole diverse group. And it was great. We enjoyed it. Like, we didn't necessarily see color. We're just like, oh, okay, like, whatever, we're all together. We'd have Indian, our friends that were from Indian background, they would have like once a semester, they'd have their parents make full meals for us. And in our history class, we'd have a full, like, it was amazing. So we got exposure to their cultures. So we did mingle together, but again, as you mentioned with the salad, we still held on to our individual cultures. In my house, the African-American household, during Thanksgiving, we still had our traditional food. My friends that were of different cultures still had their traditional food. So it's very interesting to hear salad being used instead of melting pot.
Yeah.
But it makes a lot of sense. It makes a lot of sense.
But I want to be clear. There's nothing wrong with that. I just don't think we're
there yet. Yeah.
Yeah,
and it makes sense.
And also, it also depends on who you talk to, right? So I grew up in Alabama, which generally is like the South is very much black and white. Not that there are not other groups. There are. But if you go to, you know, rural America or like middle America, you may, you know, encounter, there are whole states that are like 90%, 95%
exactly
white. Yeah. So like, do they consider themselves to be melting pot? Probably not. So I think that there are pockets, that the areas that you're going to encounter that large, diverse group of people, it's very much so like here and here and here. It's not, I would not consider the United States as a whole.
Yeah. That makes sense. And to get into a whole history lesson. I was about to say, I'm like, you know, there are these certain areas that do kind of mimic or exemplify a melting pot or salad, as you chose. But we kind of know why those areas are like that. Like, certain cultures go toward those areas on the outskirts. So neither here nor there. Sorry, guys. We can't go into that right now. But we may get that history lesson later on. So let me ask the next question then. So if you had to describe, again, you brought up the fact that America's more like a salad, different cultures kind of together, mingling together. And there are certain parts of America where there's more of one group than another group. So if you had to describe what it means to be an American, again, kind of more of a generalized idea, it makes it a little bit harder because we are all different. But if you had to describe what it means to be an American in three words, which words would you choose and why? Three words that maybe apply to all of us, even though we may have different cultures. You and I being African American, but all of us different cultures together, how would you describe an American in three words?
I'm going to go with... individual, because I think that's an ideal that we have here, very much an individualistic culture. I'm gonna go back with a variation of access and go with opportunity. And I think I'm gonna go with, I saw the questions and I never got a third one. So let me talk through those two and maybe it'll come to me. So individualistic, in our society, we're very much so self first. And so I think that a lot of people hold that ideal, particularly people, individuals who are like first generation, whatever. Mm-hmm. They kind of have to straddle potentially between like the very community mindedness that their parents came from and this individualistic mindset that the society that they currently live in tell them that they need to have to be successful. Mm-hmm. Opportunity, because they say we are the land of opportunity, which is generally true. So I will hold to that. There's mm-hmm. almost always opportunity for you to gain access to something, grow, you know, economic mobility, social mobility, whatever. There, mm-hmm. it's never a straight up, no, you can't do this.
Right.
So there's opportunity there. And then I think I'm going to go with, I don't know that I have a third one. Okay. Oh, man.
This time I'll let you pass.
Okay, I'll come back to me.
Don't worry. Okay. Okay, then, so I like the way you answered that question. Man, I'm trying to see if I can ask a follow-up question on one of the words you used, because I know that you also lived in Korea for a period of time. Mm. And so I'll bring it up. We'll see how fast we get through it. But again, okay. Answer honestly. So one aspect of being an American is, yes, that we are individuals and we value individualism, right? We value knowing who you are as an individual and being okay and confident in yourself. And I feel like we understand that, but it's not seen as arrogance and it's not seen as I don't care about anybody else.
Right.
Now I'm saying that because on the flip side, when we went to Korea, I had so many students and I had to kind of educate them more on what it means to really be an American, because in their view, they were like, oh, you guys are selfish. You mm-hmm. don't care about anybody. And I was like, well, that's not really what it is. So you have to realize our culture is different. In our culture, we value somebody knowing who they are. That is seen as valued in the culture in the sense of the fact that you know who you are means you're comfortable enough to accept somebody else's individuality and you respect who they are. Mm-hmm. But from the Korean standpoint, from the students I spoke with, my friends, they were like, well, you should be like everybody else. Like, we're all together. So I wanted to ask you, when you were in Korea, did you ever get that question? And did you ever try to defend the ideal of being an individual or individualism as an American?
I think I learned that lesson in probably a way that a lot of us do when it comes to eating out and who's going to get the bill.
Yeah.
So I think, yeah, the first couple of times I was like, okay, I'll take care of myself. Right.
Yeah.
And you all take care of yourselves. And they're like, but we all came together and we all like ate a little bit of each other's food and, you know, we're all friends. So maybe you should take care of it or whatever. And we'll next time they'll take care of it. The next time they'll take care of the bill. So I didn't really try to explain it. I just kind of took it as, okay, I just need to change. Like I'm in a new place. Let me change. Like I'm, you know, part of their culture now. So that's kind of how I
dealt with it.
Yeah, managed that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. With that part of the culture, I did like it when it was with my close friends. As a teacher, students always paid for me. Like that was just, you know, mm-hmm. the culture valuing teachers.
Yeah.
But with my super close Korean friends, I liked that. It was something happened where it was like, oh, okay, I got you this time. Don't worry. And then the next time you got me, it was... something happened inside where I was like, wow, you did kind of get the sense of community. Now, I mm-hmm. didn't come back to America and say, let's do it, because I'm like, I'm American. I understand our culture too.
Yeah.
But I started to understand their mindset in relation to that, why they did that. So.
Yeah. I do that now with some of my close friends. Like, well, like, oh, I got it. You know, I'm cheating.
Yeah.
And I think I also look at it now as if I invite you out, I'm going to assume that I'm going to take care of it. Right.
And like, I feel like there's a Korean thing that has kind of seeped in then.
I think so. Yeah. Like,
yeah.
That's how I think. And so it still catches some of them off guard when I'm like, oh, yeah, I took care of it already. I invited you out. Like, it's my treat. So that part, like, I'm like, that's good. I like it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I do like it. Now, with my best friend, she's cool. Even eating the same, like, let's just share this food. She's like, all right, whatever. I don't care. So, mm-hmm. yeah. Okay. Good stuff. All right. So now back to the questions.
I think I have, if I can go back, my third one.
Yeah.
I think would be education. I think that we have strong value, and I think a lot of people do, to like educating yourself.
Yeah.
And always looking to better yourself through knowledge. It doesn't have to be formal education. But there are other forms of education, but just, making sure that you stay informed. I think it's, at least the circle that I run in.
I like that. Okay. All right. So then the next one then is your personal family background, right? Being an African-American female. And again, however your parents raised you or the environment in your household, you can either go into a little bit detail if you would like to, but tell us how it has affected your life as an American, the way you were raised, your family background, how has it affected you as an American?
So I was raised in a middle-class family, raised in a Seventh-day Adventist Christian household. And I was also raised in the South. So for me, that, my middle-classness gave me immense opportunity. I mean, immense opportunity that I compared to some of my counterparts. My Christian background, Seventh-day Adventist particular background, I grew up in a very sheltered environment. I grew up with a very specific set of, like, guidelines around lifestyle, living, you know, not smoking, not drinking, not partying, not doing things that could lead you down the wrong path. And I think that kept my influences very limited. So for me, like, I haven't had to deal with, like, I know a lot of friends that have had run-ins with law enforcement, like multiple times by the time we were teenagers. People who have dropped out of school, people who have just experienced certain challenges by, like, the time we were 18 that I just did not have exposure to. And I also think that being an African-American female in the South, dark skin at that, adds a layer of identity challenges that I am still, like, still coming out of to this day. I think about conversations I wish I had growing up around racism and what microaggressions look like and what does subtle prejudice look like and how do you respond in situations like that. And I still think about, like, oh man, like, that experience that I had in high school, like, that wasn't right. And it just kind of, like, flew over my head, and how would I deal with that now? And how do I talk to my daughter about that?
Yeah.
Herself in situations, if, you know, when she comes into situations like that.
Yeah. It is a tough one for parents. It's like, when do you have that talk? Like, we're happy to be Americans. We're happy to be, like, Black is beautiful. Like, we appreciate our culture. But we live in a country or in a culture that there are many people that don't appreciate our individual or who we are, what we look like. So I feel like that is, I don't have children just yet. I have nieces, but I feel like that is a difficult conversation for parents to have. How do you teach confidence while also teaching be careful, like be careful type thing?
Yeah.
I've had a few run-ins as well. I mean, again, like, I know we've both had experiences growing up and whatever in the workforce and stuff where someone has, it was a microaggression. I'm a little bit of a spitfire in certain situations. So, like, I'm really, you know, and I think I know you are as well. Like, there are moments when it'll come out, but it's still, like, it's still baffling that someone can treat you a certain way because of the color of your skin. So trying to deal with that. I think also another thing that enters is trying to deal with those situations as a Christian.
Yeah.
It gets very interesting. Like, how do you call it out, but still show love? So, yeah, that's true. That's true. A lot of things do change your experience as an American. Okay.
Good stuff. Can I also say that I have often thought about my level of patriotism. It's a conversation that we have a lot in this house. My husband says, he asked me, like, do you consider yourself a patriot? And I'm like, no, absolutely not. Yeah. Absolutely not. Like, I have no strong affection for this country. And that's largely because of the experiences that I've had, me personally, people that I know, family members, just the Black community as a whole, and particularly in the current environment, it's difficult to be here and maintain any like modicum of positivity. Cause it's, and I will say like, the air is different. It's different here. Like when I walk down the street and I'm walking past someone, any non-Black individual, like you don't even have to say anything. Like you just feel this sort of like this charge that this like sitting between the two of you. And it's uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable. It's like, I don't know like what side of the fence, so to speak, that you're sitting on. And so I don't know like how to, I'm coming to the interaction with a level of, okay, Keisha, be ready, when I would really rather not have to approach somebody like that.
It's like you always have to be on guard.
Yeah, always.
You'd rather not, but it's like you feel like you're always on guard. How did you deal with that in Korea? I'm curious.
Ooh, you know, in Korea, I kind of was just like, I looked at myself as a learning opportunity.
Yeah.
So I think what I came across more so was just ignorance because of lack of opportunity, lack of
experience. Yeah.
So I took that stance. I told myself that's the stance I'm going to take, and I'm not going to react negatively to any form of like racism or prejudice that I may come in contact with, because it's like, you just don't know.
Right.
You just don't know. So it, that colored my, all of my interactions. And so I just used it as an opportunity to educate, to just kind of sit back and sit with it and, you know, and communicate with people. I'll never forget. I was in this really small city visiting a friend, and I walked into her classroom, and one of her students is like, oh, you're a Black person. It's the way he said it was just, it was hilarious.
Yeah.
And I was like, do you have a pack of crayons? He's like, yeah, of course. So it's like, can you show me where the Black crayon is? He pulls it out. I'm like, am I that black? Am I black? He's like, oh, actually no, you're kind of brown. Like, so just that, that conversation, I think, you know, it just enlightened him a little bit more, because the way he said it, it wasn't meant to be derogatory, but you could tell that it was.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
So him realizing that, oh, she's not Black, she's brown. Okay, so maybe she's not whatever they're talking about at home.
Yeah, exactly.
That disconnect. So,
yeah.
Just something simple like that. And people just touching you, like, without asking.
I used to rock a fro in Korea, you know, natural hair. And, you know, they're very curious. The only individuals, if it was an older grandma, I wouldn't go, like, I wouldn't, you know, like, hey, don't do that. Like, I let, okay, just lightly, like, hey, go with the curve, honey. Like, you gotta make sure your hand is a little curve a little bit. Like, I would teach if it was a grandma, if it was like a regular adult or a kid, I'm like, don't touch. But again, I speak Korean, I could explain to them, like, hey, you don't touch, you know, Black women's hair, like, it's kind of a culture thing. And then we talk about something else. But I also saw myself as, I guess you put it as a learning, I guess, tool. Like, hey, you don't know anything really about Black people, right? About African Americans. So let me be the individual that basically schools you. Let me educate you on, we're not what you see on TV. I don't carry a gun. Like, nobody, like, people don't carry guns like that. Like, we're not the violent individuals or the, now that side of me can come out where I may like snap my fingers and tell you off, but I'm not going to do that in Korea. But it's this kind of like stereotypical Black person. Like, we're not all like that. So yeah, it wasn't. I will say that it was a great opportunity to educate. And then you had that idea like, man, I feel like we're the main group in the entire world that always has to kind of like
always
explain, like, kind of like, hey, let me give this caveat. We're not all like, it's like the media kind of presents us in a negative way, but
absolutely.
You guys listening already know that we're great people. So
absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So I'm not sure how this question is going to go after your last comment, because you did say about,
yeah,
I'm really being patriotic, and I understand. what do you love the most about being an American?
Yeah, I think, okay. I still think that even though I'm not patriotic, mm-hmm. I'm still given privilege mm-hmm. as an American.
Right.
So when I go out into the world, particularly leaving the United States, there are still certain privileges that I'm afforded because yeah. I'm a U.S. citizen.
Yeah.
And whether it be good or bad, those they exist. And like, I can't be like, you know, they're there. So
yeah.
I think there is advantage to that. I'll leave it at that.
I'm not going to lie. Having an American passport, I'm like, I'm fine. I'm really okay. Like, yeah. I'm okay. Yeah, yeah, I'm good. Yeah. I can be okay wherever I go. Yeah. All right. So then if you could change one thing, we've talked about a lot of things that are, you know, need to be changed in America, but if you could change one thing about America, what would you change and why?
I would like there to be more focus on community-mindedness. We touched on it a little bit earlier.
Mm, yeah. Uh-huh. I think it cut off a little bit. It's okay. We're going to keep rolling, guys. I think her connection cut off a little bit. Uh-oh.
Oh, sorry. But
it's okay. I was still talking to help you out, but it cut off a little bit right when you were answering it. You can just start from the beginning again. It cut off. Go ahead.
My connection's good. Okay. Yeah, so I think there's a way to maintain our individualism, individuality. Woo!
About to rap.
Yes, individuality.
Individuality. It's like, go ahead.
Individuality, our ideology mm-hmm. towards that, but also, you know, bring up community-mindedness to the forefront. And there's a lot of conversation now about how the pandemic has really shown some of our discrepancies, some of the, you know, the inequalities that exist in healthcare, in access, education, in employment.
Yeah.
And I work in criminal justice, so I see those inequities when it comes to sentencing and incarceration and reincarceration, those rates, and also like employment for people with criminal records. But as a whole, you know, we think about, why is there a debate around who's wearing a mask? Like something very simple, right?
Yeah.
If it doesn't hurt, then just do it. Like, we could have been, so they say, we could have been out of this thing months ago if we all just wore a mask. Like something so simple, but you're so concerned about your individual rights. I'm not sure how this mask is affecting your individual rights.
Yeah.
But I mean, there's a way for you to maintain individuality, but also be considerate about your neighbor. So I think if we could strike the balance between that, I think America really could be.
Yeah.
Could be in an awesome country. Like, people already want to come here with all the crap that we put them through. If we were able to actually do it right, like, we would, it would be awesome. It would be awesome.
Yeah.
So that's what I would like to see.
I like it.
Yeah.
I like it. I like it. All right. Now we're kind of coming to a close, but before we close, I do want to ask you two more things. So again, the individuals listening to this podcast, many of them have never been to America. And they're very curious. So let's say pandemic is over, right? They're about to hop on a plane. They're excited. They're about to hop on a plane and come over to America. And you have the opportunity to tell them one last thing. Like, hey, here's one thing I want you to definitely know about Americans. So what is one thing you wish everyone knew about Americans?
I think, and I'm going to speak from being a Black woman, that allow us to tell you who we are, right? Mm. Allow us the room and opportunity to let you see who we are without projecting ideas from the media. And we talked about that earlier about who Black people are, right? Because like any other group of people, we're not a monolith. We're very diverse. And just because we're Black, I mean, the background could be much more than that. Right. Mm. Our experiences are so much more than that. So that's what I would say. I think that was something I came across a lot in Korea and in Thailand and all the other places that I've been. And I think it's very human to come with ideas about a person, but as much as possible, like, leave those at the, check them at the door. Right.
Yeah.
And let people show you who they are and you make your observations from that, right? Your determinations about who they are from that.
I like that. I like that.
The most annoying thing.
Yeah. I like that. I like that. All right. I have enjoyed this conversation a lot. It is coming to a close, but is there anything else you would like to say about being an American to wrap us up? Any other thoughts, final thoughts you had?
Yeah, I would like to say that as a whole, I think Americans, U.S. citizens are open, mm-hmm. right? I think there's this misconception that one, we're ignorant, we're stupid, mm-hmm. we're closed-minded. We don't know anything about the world. That's not true. Mm-hmm. You have those people literally everywhere. But as a whole, I think that the U.S. is very open and we're ready to learn and be learned about when it comes to other people, other countries, other societies. And so when you're coming and when you're in contact with somebody who is a U.S. citizen, we want to see all of you, right? I'm going to go back to food.
Okay. I have no problem with that.
When I go out to like get Thai food, or I go out to get Chinese food, or mm-hmm. I go out to get even like Indian or Japanese food, after being in those countries and coming back and tasting what we're served here, oh, it incenses me. It almost offends me. It almost offends me that they feel that they need to temper, right, their cuisine because Americans can't handle this or Americans don't like this. And it's like, well, you never gave it to us. Like, we never had opportunity to enjoy the thing, right? Mm-hmm. And so when I go to another country and I'm experiencing your food for the first time and I say, oh, this is disgusting or whatever, it's because I wasn't properly introduced, right? Uh-huh. And so don't be afraid to like be your authentic self and like fully so that I can understand or not, you know, whomever you're connected with can understand what it is to be part of your culture or what it is to be X so that we have a true understanding and can make an accurate determination. I felt so betrayed in that way. And it's something small when we're talking about food, but I think that it speaks to a larger
issue.
What am I saying? Like theme or habit of when people come, they feel they need to tamper themselves down to be palatable and you don't have to be.
Yeah.
Just be you. So, you know, and people will take it or leave it, but most
like it.
We're pretty open. So yeah.
I like it. I like it. Thank you so much, Keisha. I enjoyed, you gave so much information that was useful. And I think that as the individuals listening to this podcast heard you, I think they learned so much more about what it means to be an American. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Of course. Have a great night, hon.
Thanks.
I really hope you enjoyed this episode. Remember, if you want to see video explanations for all of the words and expressions that were used in today's episode, all you have to do is join the weekly English Words membership by going to www.weeklyenglishwords.com. Once again, that's www.weeklyenglishwords.com. This has been Teacher Tiffany with the Speak English with Tiffany podcast. Until next time, remember to speak English.